Welcome to Good People. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to a special episode focusing on Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for. With me in the studio today is Michelle Epps, who is an advisory board member for Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for. And she also is a business owner of the Epps Agency, an HR consulting firm. And we're going to talk more about both of those things. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For, which is an awards competition providing the business community with the opportunity to gain recognition, showcase their best practices, and demonstrate why they are an ideal place for employees to work. This is the premier awards symposium that celebrates those companies that are making the lives of their employees better, as well as the whole community better. The program provides year-long education, benchmarking, assessment tools, and interaction amongst the best employers. And here on Business Radio X, we have been showcasing several of the nominees, as well as speaking with the advisory board members about the program and really getting to know what's going on inside Atlanta's best and brightest companies. So, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you here and looking forward to getting to know more about you. So let's start with you and kind of your career background and how you got to your current place.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to do that. I moved to Atlanta 19 years ago, and I actually started my career as a paralegal. And so I worked as a paralegal for a while. I went to got my bachelor's degree, and then I decided I wanted to move into a management position, wanted to move into HR. And so I went to business school, got my MBA in HR management, and I landed a role as paralegal manager at one of the larger law firms here in Atlanta. So I worked there for a while and then transitioned over into an HR officer role at one of the major universities here downtown. So I have about probably 12 years experience in HR.
So what drew you to HR as a field and then kind of continued to intrigue you? Because I know sometimes we think, oh, I want to do this. And then, you know, you get distracted onto something else. So obviously there's something that initially fascinated you and then kind of continued to fascinate you about HR.
Exactly. Well, I mentioned that I got my undergraduate degree. Well, my major was psychology. Okay. And I had the legal background as well. And so the psychology just, you know, the science of how people think and what motivates people, I thought that was just a perfect marriage with my legal background to transition into an HR career. So, and it really has worked perfectly because, you know, when you're managing people and you're dealing with employee relations issues, you really have to, you know, activate some of your psychology skill sets and training just to kind of navigate those meetings. And of course, the legal background with the compliance and although those areas of HR, that has really come in handy with my HR career.
I would imagine so, because employees are becoming even more complex as individuals, I think, to manage these days, and the legal framework in which companies are operating also on the employment law side, even more complex. So what do you at the Epps Agency do for clients?
Well, we target small to medium-sized companies. Clients who, unlike their larger counterparts, don't have the time or the resources to really develop on strategic HR policies and developing policies in that area. And so we target those companies. We bring our expertise into their company. We look at their strategic goals. And we basically just try to develop and design HR policies that align their human capital needs with their overall strategic business goals.
Now, how important is it for a business to be concerned about their HR and their HR strategy in today's competitive market environment?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm glad you asked. And that's twofold, because your people is your greatest commodity as a company, because they it's important that they are aligned with your mission and your vision so they can carry out their job functions in line with your strategic business goals. But then you also, on the other side, you have federal and state regulated compliance issues that you have to take into consideration. I mean, when you're hiring employees, there are guidelines you have to follow. When you are counseling employees, and when you're terminating employees. And so there's a lot of federal and state regulation that has to go into those decisions as well, depending on what size company you are. But for the most of the companies that we work with, they are under, you know, the state and federal guidelines.
Now, what about the nurturing of talent? And I mean, everybody's looking for good people. That's what we talk a lot about on mm-hmm. this show. Once you find them, how do you keep them? And I guess that's what the competition is a lot about.
Exactly. And that's the million-dollar question, you know, because employees are motivated by more than just salary. So a competitive salary is important, but so is work-life balance and making employees feel like they're valued and appreciated. And so it's one of the reasons why I was attracted to the Best and Brightest program is because it identifies and rewards those companies that display a commitment to excellence to HR practices and employee enrichment. But, you know, it's very important to have employee enrichment programs that allow your employees to A, feel valued, A, B, to be engaged, and C, you want to help your employees develop and grow, give them opportunities for growth. But when you have the buy-in from your employees on, you know, a larger scale, you won't get the buy-in from everyone, of course, but it just really helps keep your business goals and objectives in alignment with what your employees are doing. And when they buy into that vision and they buy into that mission, they're your best sales force, you know, they're your best marketing representatives. And so it's important to not only retain top talent, not only attract top talent, but to retain them as well. And you do that through your employee enrichment programs and your policies. So it's very important.
So, I mean, they say that an engaged employee is giving you, you know, anywhere between 30% more productivity to 100% more productivity,
exactly.
Right? When they're actually bought in, like you're saying, to the vision
exactly.
of the company. How do companies measure the results of these investments that they're making in their employee development programs and in creating a unique workplace?
Well, they can measure it in a couple of different ways. They can look at the metrics for absenteeism. And they can look at their turnover rates, and they can also utilize workplace employee engagement surveys where they actually obtain feedback from the employees on what they think about different policies in the company, how happy they are working for the company, how happy they are with their benefits package, and just overall as being an employee at that company. So there's several different ways that companies can measure productivity and engagement of their employees.
Now, if a company was going to take some of these tests or assessments, you know, do a benchmark, hey, how do we stack up? And what if it comes back that, you know, they're just not very good? And is there an opportunity for a turnaround, or is the culture kind of set and, you know, if it's not good, it's really tough to change at that point?
Well, you know, if you're with an extremely large company, it's hard to change culture. But when you're dealing with the smaller and medium-sized companies who are my my clients, then you have a better opportunity to change the culture in your company. First of all, you have to decide what you want the culture to be, and then you have to incorporate that into every part of your company. So even from your recruitment, your advertisements, what information you put on your website about your employees. And so you really need to incorporate that the culture that you want to permeate throughout your organization into your people from day one throughout their entire career. So, you know, you can, if you get the results back from your survey and there are certain areas that need improvement, you know, you can use consultants like my company to help you develop in those areas where you want to improve those numbers. So there's a lot of value from actually doing the employee surveys, getting that feedback, but also reviewing the information, analyzing the information, and then doing something about it. So employees, I think, can be a little disheartened when they take all these surveys, but they don't see any change. And so you want to implement change that's visible and tangible to the employees as well, so they feel like their voice is being heard.
Those are really good points. I think there's nothing more frustrating than somebody asking your opinion about something and then not taking
exactly.
your advice on it.
Exactly.
So if you're going to start the conversation, you really have to demonstrate that, hey, we're
you
really
do.
Willing to
You do, and if you want your employees to continue to give you candid feedback, and of course the surveys are all anonymous, so you don't know which employees are unhappy, but it gives you a good measure of what percentage of your workforce is content, engaged, happy, or who's basically disgruntled. So, but yeah, it's anonymous, which encourages the employees to give the candid feedback. But again, doing something with the information to make positive changes within the organization also encourages that candid feedback year after year, or however often you do the survey.
Right. Now, when you got involved with Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For, they reached out, they asked you if you wanted to be on the advisory board, obviously because of your expertise in this area. Tell me your thoughts about the program and the year-long program, mm-hmm. as well as the big awards competition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I was hesitant at first because I was a little concerned about the time commitment that's involved in being a board member. But this board is different. It's not a board of directors. It's actually an advisory board. And so there's not as much responsibility that's normally entailed of a normal board of director,
right.
You know, member of on a board.
Oh, I know the difference.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly.
They're more interested in your expertise and
exactly.
your advice and less meetings.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, but I was really intrigued with the program. I had never gone through a program like that before, but I knew there were a couple in Atlanta, but I saw this one. And what was unique about it is that they're not just a publication. They don't just pick a winner and, you know, print out, do an advertisement with a list of winners. They actually partner with the participants throughout the year through educational workshops and seminars that are conducted locally as well as nationally. And they also partner with HR consultants like myself to help those companies, like you talked about earlier, if you get the feedback back from your surveys and you see that, you know, your scores are low in certain areas, what can you do to turn them around? So they partner with companies throughout the year to help them develop in those areas where they see a weakness. So, and you know, I also like that community involvement is one of the criteria for selecting the winners for Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For, because, you know, I've been in Atlanta almost 20 years. I'm an HR professional on top of that. And so for me, it's very important that Atlanta be one of the best places, best cities to live and work. And it's important for companies to give back to the communities, that it serves. And so that was important to me as well. So it was really just a no brainer. And it was a perfect fit for me to join the board and also agree to be the Atlanta Business Development Representative to help develop the program here in Atlanta, develop relationships with our community partners, you know, things of that nature. So it's been a great fit. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it's been an engaging program and given you the opportunity to really get hands-on with some of these companies and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea that the more a community or a city has employers providing the best places to work, the more we're going to have happy, healthy neighbors and citizens in our city.
Exactly.
And what a difference that makes for all of us. So it's a very holistic point of view, this whole conversation around HR is coming from, which is different than kind of, you know, management philosophy 20, 30 years ago, where it was very departmentalized. I mean, obviously, there's still an HR department, but companies are starting to see that the ripple effects of what goes on in HR extend to all areas of
exactly.
the company, operations, financial, legal.
Exactly.
You know, it's all intertwined.
Exactly.
So, Michelle, what does a best and brightest company look like in your eyes?
Well, a best and brightest company makes the HR director or makes HR a strategic business partner in every other aspect of the business. And so when you have the leaders of the organization come to the table to meet to discuss benchmarks, quarterly benchmarks and to discuss quarterly goals for the next quarter and, you know, the short term and long term goals, you want HR to be in the room. And so that's what it means by making HR a strategic business partner, is you want to know how, if you have plans to, for growth, you know, what are the HR ramifications on that? How many people are you going to need to hire? Are you going to need training programs, things of that nature? And so that's one, that would be one characteristic of a best and brightest company. You also, we look for companies that have employee wellness programs, because a healthy employee and an emotionally happy employee is a more productive employee. They're out of the office less. They come to work on time. They aren't disgruntled. They aren't.
Right, they're spreading cheer rather than complaining by the water cooler.
Exactly. And so it's a company that you know, promotes work-life balance, and just really develops fair and sound HR practices where they are treating employees fairly. They're asking employees feedback. They're letting employees give their input on new products and services, and just really engaging the employees and making them feel like they are a valuable part of the company.
Now, in addition to your degree in psychology and your MBA in HR management, you also are an AFAA certified group fitness instructor.
I am.
So the idea of keeping people healthy and the link that that has to the bottom line ultimately is something that you took seriously, and it's a big part of what you do. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I am an AFA certified group fitness instructor. That's a national certification. And it's interesting how that all came about. I didn't start out to be a fitness instructor or any kind of fitness coach or anything. It really developed as a result of my own personal journey with weight loss. It was a couple of years ago, and I was just frustrated. I would get ready for work in the morning and all my clothes were too tight. And, you know, and I just got frustrated. And so one morning I just said, this is it. You know, I'm going to lose this weight and I'm going to start exercising. And I did that. And, you know, I found some accountability partners, because I was in the Air Force years and years and years ago. I don't want to show my age, but I didn't really start getting active in fitness until I got out of the Air Force, but I'd always work out, but it was cyclical. So I'd start, then stop, and I'd eat right, and I'd start and stop. And so I made a commitment, it was in November of 2009, to make my health and my fitness a priority. And I ended up losing 40 pounds.
Wow.
I lost 4 dress sizes. I went from a size 12 to a size 4. And but the physical,
that's pretty awesome. Well, and you look like somebody who works out, and you definitely have that aura of a healthy, fit person, because it's beyond just the weight and
the physical. Right. Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say, because, you know, when you exercise, you have a chemical release. They're called endorphins, and they make you happy. They're responsible for elevating your mood. They relieve stress. They make you feel happier. You can think more clearly. And so there's this whole chemical, physiological process that goes on inside the body when you exercise, and you're reducing your cholesterol levels, your blood pressure. And, you know, as we know, high blood pressure and, you know, high cholesterol and obesity, those are chronic problems that, you know, are basically an epidemic in
absolutely
this country.
And they're costing corporations billions of dollars.
Exactly. And so instead of focusing on treatment, you know, we really, really want to look at prevention by offering and the fitness component. It really works well with the HR consulting, because, you know, we offer corporate wellness programs as a part of our HR consulting company. And, you know, again, the healthcare costs are rising. And so we want to go into companies. We want to hold lunch and learns that talk about nutrition, how to eat healthier, basically how to make better choices, better food choices, how to read food labels, how to incorporate fitness into your day. Most people are busy. They get to work early. Sometimes they leave work late. They have children. They have other, you know, outside responsibilities. And so time is probably the biggest excuse that most people give for not exercising. And so, you know, we show employees how to do desk exercises, how to get out on your lunch break, especially if you work downtown or in an area where you can walk, you know, during your lunch break, and Biggest Loser challenges and healthy heart challenges and things of that nature. But, you know, it really goes hand hand in hand. It makes you feel better when you exercise and you eat right and you take care of your body. And then you're also more productive at work, which leads to a bigger bottom line for the employee. It reduces healthcare costs. It reduces absenteeism. So it's all just intertwined.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, but a lot of people are trying to lose weight and be healthier. So, and unfortunately, the success numbers are not always as rosy as you like to see when you read those studies of how many people go on a diet every year. So how important is it, because you're doing this work, that you've seen in the success of somebody's ability to reach their fitness and health goals, how important is the employer's buy-in and creating a supportive environment that encourages that to ultimately success?
Well, it can be very important because if an employee can't afford a gym membership, that could be a reason why they don't exercise and work out. And so if the employer offers a discounted membership, or if there's a gym on site, which is if there's a fitness center on site at a company, that's really the ideal situation. I, through the Atlanta Best and Brightest program, I visited with a company, and they had a climbing wall, a rock climbing wall right in the lobby of their office. And I just thought that was awesome. And when employees, they say, you know, when their employees are stressed or they just need to take a break and they need to clear their head, then they can at any time go to the rock climbing wall and, you know, relieve some stress and, you know, just kind of get the brain pumping again.
Right.
and it helps them think clearly, come up with more creative ideas. And, you know, and so it's extremely important. And then also if the employer gives maybe an hour and a half lunch for if you want to go to the gym and work out at lunch, that's important as well. Having healthy food options and snack options available at the office. And so instead of having vending machines with junk food, maybe have vending machines with fruit and trail mix and, you know, granola bars and healthy fats like nuts and almonds and, you know, water and things of that nature. So it really helps when the employer supports employee wellness, and it just provides more opportunities for the employee to take advantage of those.
Sure. Well, you spend so much time at work, and it's such a big part of who you are. So, Michelle, it's been really great hearing about all you're doing and your business.
Thank you.
If people want to reach out to you or get in touch with you about some HR consulting, where can they find you?
Well, the website address is theeppsagency.com. And that's two E's. It's T-H-E-E-P-P-S, agency.com. That double E always throws people off. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can just search for Michelle Epps. And my first name is spelled a little bit differently, thanks to my mom. It's spelled actually M-A-S-H-E-L-L-E. Last name is Epps, E-P-P-S. So you can find me on Twitter at Michelle Epps. You can find me on LinkedIn by searching for Michelle Epps. And then I'm also on Facebook. Just search for Michelle Epps. So there's plenty of ways you can get in touch with me if you need some help with HR consulting for your company, if you need some help with your corporate wellness program. We're available to help with all of that. So we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Excellent. And then for Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies, we've got the award ceremony on June 21st. And we will actually be broadcasting live from there, so we can interview the awards and award winners and attendees and other nominees. And from being on the advisory board for this time with Atlanta's Best and Brightest, what would you advise other companies who are interested in finding out more about the program or leveraging some of the benefits of what you all are doing?
Well, they can go to my website, theeppsagency.com. I have some information about Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For program on my website. I am the local Atlanta Business Development Representative, so I will be their local contact. If they have any questions, they can call me. The number's right on the website, and my email address is there as well. And I would also encourage companies to come out to the awards gala on June 21st. I mean, it really is the Oscars of HR. You know, we have the C-suite executives there. We have all the HR decision makers there. We share a lot of best practices. It's a whole morning program where we have We have the morning workshop. We have, I think it's two different workshops where we talk about trends and best practices in HR. And so it's an opportunity to network with your colleagues in the HR community, find out from other companies who are Atlanta's best and brightest companies to work for, what makes them unique, what sets them apart from their counterparts. So I would definitely recommend that companies come out if they're interested, come out to the awards gala on June 21st. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. It may be 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis. And of course, Monica Pearson is our MC. She's our mistress of ceremony for the event this year. So she was our mistress of ceremony last year as well. The event last year went extremely well. We had a lot of fun, shared a lot of great information. So definitely come out to the awards symposium.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
We're definitely looking forward to it.
Me
and
too.
We will interview you there on the day of,
awesome.
And I'll see you again.
Awesome, awesome.
So thank you, Michelle Epps with the Epps Agency. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and you're listening to Business Radio X. Check out more shows at businessradiox.com. We will talk to you next week.